तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। विल चांस चैप्टर 18 वर्सेस 59 टू 63। यदहंकारमाश्रित्य नयोध्य इति मन्यते मिथ्यैष व्यवसायस्ते प्रकृतिस्त्वां नियोक्ष्यति। यदहंकारमाश्रित्य नयोध्य इति मन्यते मिथ्यैष व्यवसायस्ते प्रकृतिस्त्वां नियोक्ष्यति। स्वभावजेन कौन्तेय निबद्धस्वेन कर्मणा कर्तुं नेचति यन्मोहात् करिष्यस्य वशोपितः। स्वभावजेन कौन्तेय निबद्धस्वेन कर्मणा कर्तुं नेचति यन्मोहात् करिष्यस्य वशोपितः। ईश्वरः सर्वभूतानां हृद्देशेऽर्जुन तिष्ठति। ब्राह्मयन् सर्वभूतानि यन्त्रारूढानि मायया। ईश्वरः सर्वभूतानां हृद्देशेऽर्जुन तिष्ठति। ब्राह्मयन् सर्वभूतानि यन्त्रारूढानि मायया। तमेव शरणं गच्छ सर्वभावेन भारत तत्प्रसादात् परां शान्तिं स्थानं प्राप्स्यति शाश्वतम्। तमेव शरणं गच्छ सर्वभावेन भारत तत्प्रसादात् परां शान्तिं स्थानं प्राप्स्यति शाश्वतम्। इति ते ज्ञानमाख्यातम् गुह्यात् गुह्यतरं मया विमृश्यैतत शेषेण यतेच्छसि तथा कुरु। इति ते ज्ञानमाख्यातम् गुह्यात्गुह्यतरं मया विमृश्येतदशेषेण यतेच्छसि तथा कुरु। So in the previous verses, Lord Krishna emphasized the karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, through which one attains a relative renunciation. Relatively, the mind becomes detached from the worldly aspects and then starts focusing on the higher aspects of life. As a result, the person is ready for meditation, and through meditation one merges with the self. So in the 58th verse he says, fixing the mind on me meaning the Atma, the self, the higher. The mind, as a result of the maturity achieved from the constant adherence of karma bhakti jnana, starts appreciating the higher aspects of life. So mind only focuses on the higher. So it says, fixing the mind on me, you shall by my grace overcome all obstacles. The obstacles created is by constant identification with the lower. When our mind flows to the lower, it then identifies with the body and becomes the body. Then as you start identifying with the body, then you face the obstacles at the body level. Meaning the disturbances at the body level would affect you. Body will go through heat and cold, and you would be affected by that. Similarly, when you identify with the mind, the disturbances at the mind level affect you, similarly with the intellect level. So the moment you shift your attention towards the self, he says you become eligible for my grace. When he says that, what he means is, he is not saying that the grace of the Lord is preferential. The grace of the Lord is universal, but it is available to anyone and everyone who seeks it. For which we have given the common example of sunlight, which is common to all. It's universal. It's not only available for few. It's available to everyone. But you got to open the doors and windows and seek the grace of the sunlight. If you have closed your windows and doors, the sunlight would not come into your house. Similarly, only those who seek the higher get the grace of the higher. Those who don't seek the higher, whose attention has turned towards the self, they don't get the grace of the higher. As simple as that. So fixing the mind on me, you shall by my grace overcome all obstacles. But if out of egoism, if out of egoism, you will not listen and you will not listen to this advice, you shall perish. If out of egoism, your limited self, the sense of doership, you will say, I will now not listen to this, and then you shall perish. Now this is not a warning that Sri Krishna is giving. All he is trying to say is, when you adhere to dharma and deal with your ego and direct yourself identifying with the higher, then you will save yourself. It's like there's a law. We have always said this quotation, and no one can break the law. One can only break oneself against the law. So when you go against the law, you come under the wrath of the law. Law has no intention to hurt you. But if you will not listen to the gravitational force and you will jump from a certain building, you will break your bones. Similarly, the law is that thy will be done and not my will be done. You may have certain likes and dislikes, preferences, but life will not move in accordance to your likes and dislikes. Therefore, handling your likes and dislikes, you adhere to the higher dharma. So when you adhere to the higher dharma, not act on your personal likes and dislikes, then you don't come under the wrath of the law. But out of egoism you say, no, no, everything has to happen according to my will. Then he says, you shall perish. You shall perish means you will be going through mental agitations, disturbances, suffer, incur more and more vasanas and perish. That's what it means. So this should not be taken as a curse. So in other words, whoever it may be, so in this context, there was a discussion, would it apply to anybody and everybody? It will apply to anybody and everybody. The moment you don't come and respect this, that thy will be done, not my will be done, and if you say, no, my will has to be done, you will suffer. This is a law. Next verse. Verse 59. यदहंकारमाश्रित्य आश्रित्य नयोच्य इति मन्यते नयोच्य इति मन्यते मिथ्यैष व्यवसायस्ते मिथ्यैष व्यवसायस्ते प्रकृतिस्त्वां नियोक्ष्यति प्रकृतिस्त्वां नियोक्ष्यति यदहंकारमाश्रित्य नयोच्य इति मन्यते मिथ्यैष व्यवसायस्ते प्रकृतिस्त्वां नियोक्ष्यति. If out of egoism you resolve, I will not fight. Vain is this resolve of yours, your nature will constrain you. Now, as we mentioned before, the entire 18th chapter is a summary of all that he has discussed before. Second chapter and the 18th chapter are both summary. In the third chapter itself, he said, when he talked about Karma Yoga, he said, Nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtasya karma krit karyate hyavashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunihi. In the third chapter, he already said this. In the beginning itself, he said this. None can remain without action even for a second. Why? Because everyone will be forced to act according to their nature. Each one has what is called as the inner temperaments or vasanas. That's what brings about the difference between you, me and all of us. According to Vedanta, each one of us are nothing but divinity covered by certain set of vasanas. Each one of us are essentially divine. But we are covered with independent set of vasanas. So divinity covered with a particular set of vasanas is mukta. Divinity covered with another particular set of vasanas is sadhana. Like that, each one of us. So therefore we say in Vedanta, God plus vasanas equals human being. So then, what is God? Human being minus vasanas. So when we remove this set of vasanas, then what remains is divinity. Right? So human being minus vasanas is God. So therefore we say, the purpose of life is to get rid of this vasanas. But not knowing this, many of us are only adding more vasanas. So by learning the Gita, we begin to, by learning and living according to Gita, then we begin to remove the vasanas. Right? So what Sri Krishna says is, in the third chapter, the pretext, the context is what? Arjuna did not want to fight. You remember the first chapter. Why he did not want to fight? Because it was such a big inconvenience to him. Even though he is interested in the throne which rightfully belongs to them, the inconvenience is what? It's a personal difficulty because he has to eliminate his guru, grandfather, etc. So he says, therefore I will not fight. Here also Sri Krishna is doing the same thing. If out of egoism, if you say, I will not fight, meaning I have certain inconveniences, I will not. How much ever inconvenience I may have, I must keep aside my inconvenience and live up to the law of the totality, is what Sri Krishna is saying. So if in the totality you are placed at a certain position, as per your nature, in the context Arjuna's nature is what? Kshatriya. Right? His vasanas are all in alignment with being a Kshatriya. Now, a Kshatriya's dharma is to protect righteousness, defend righteousness. And when such a scenario has come, he is looking into his personal inconvenience and want to withdraw. And many of us do this. even though we know our nature, our duty in a context is to do this, but there may be certain personal inconveniences, and as a result of that, we would not want to live up to that law of dharma. Correct? So therefore Sri Krishna says in the third chapter, even if you would want to restrain and not do the action of a kshatriya, your nature will not allow you to keep quiet. Therefore there he says, the attainment of perfection is not by giving up action, but by doing your action, giving up the ego. Because if Arjuna sat down, he's not going to keep quiet, his nature is going to take over. For that we have always discussed and said that 12 years they were supposed to be in exile and 13th year incognito, isn't it? That was the condition when Duryodhana banished them, isn't it? 12 years in exile and 13th year incognito. What a great opportunity for him to have focused in the knowledge and studied the higher and tried to attain moksha. But did he do that? All those years, what did he do? He was practicing his kshatriya capabilities to retain it so that when he comes back, he needs to fight and get that kingdom back. Because his nature is that. So same thing Sri Krishna is saying here, if out of egoism you will resolve, I will not fight, not aligning with the dharma, but aligning with your personal conveniences, then this resolve is a vain resolve. Why? Because your nature is what? Being a kshatriya. So he says, your nature will constrain you. You will not be able to sit down and think of the higher or meditate on the higher. Your nature will come back. Idle mind is a devil's workshop. You need to therefore through karma, bhakti, jnana, get rid of the vasana. Then you will be able to sit down and meditate on the higher. Otherwise, your hand, your fingers may be, you know, rotating the beads, your eyes may be closed, but your mind will be thinking of the world. Your nature will constrain you. Constrain you. The entire universe goes to sleep when the vasana goes to unmanifestation in the night. And again, maybe for 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, the vasanas are unmanifest. Then again when the vasanas manifest, when you wake up, the world wakes up, each one, what happens to each one? According to their vasanas, they continue, isn't it? A sportsman goes to his particular field, a musician goes to his particular field, a dancer goes to his particular field, engineer goes to his particular field, doctor goes to his particular field, like that each one according to their vasanas manifest. So that's what he's saying, the nature will constrain you, it will not allow you. In other words, you cannot sit down quietly, the doership will come, it will manifest at the thought level, it will disturb you. Therefore, the better option for you would be to dedicate your asanas for the welfare of the total. That's all he's saying. When you do that, the fact that you are not thinking about your personal profit or loss, you are merely doing it as an instrument in the hands of totality, you don't accumulate fresh vasanas and the existing vasanas are also exhausted. And this way, you drop the vasanas and reach the atma. The other way, the nature will constrain you, you will be thinking about it, and the fact that you are thinking about it, you will be incurring more vasanas. Therefore, Shri Krishna again, once again, reiterates here that you cannot look into your personal conveniences, look into karma, align your nature in line with the dharma. That's all it is. So in this topic, from verse 59 to 66, Shri Krishna is appealing to Arjuna to act according to his Kshatriya dharma nature to reach the goal of moksha or eternal growth. Earlier also he said, no, Swadharma, you should act according to your Swadharma, your nature in alignment with the heart. Simple. Be a spoke in the wheel of life. Find out what is your nature. Do it for the welfare of the total. Don't look at your personal profit or loss. The moment you look down upon yourself as a little self, you reduce yourself to that level and you incur vasanas. The moment you lift your attention towards the higher, you automatically drop the vasanas because you look at yourself as the total, not as the small self. This is Shri Krishna's advice here. So from 59 to 66, all that Shri Krishna is trying to say is the little self should merge with the total self and function. It's all. Realize that you are a small dot, speck in the total. Then you align with the total. If you say, I will not align, then you will only suffer. It's only going to work against you. So you, in your interest, align with the total. So when we align with the total, it is not that you are doing some great favor to the total. By aligning with the total, you help yourself. This is what Swami Vivekananda says. When you work for the welfare of the world, you are actually serving yourself. Don't imagine an ego that you are helping the world. Through service, you help yourself. So the need of the hour is to do service, to function in the spirit of service and not in the spirit of selfishness. So use this as an opportunity to exhaust the vasanas. Next. Swabhavajena kaunteya, swabhavajena kaunteya, nibaddhasvena karmana, nibaddhasvena karmana, kartum nechasi yanmoha, kartum nechasi yanmoha, karishyasya vashopita, karishyasya vashopita, swabhavajena kaunteya, nibaddhasvena karmana, kartum nechasi yanmoha, karishyasya vashopita. Swabhava means the nature that comes with you from your birth, born of your own nature. O Kauteya, O Kunti Putra Arjuna, bound by action, born of your nature, O Kauteya, that which from delusion you do not like to do, even that helplessly you will perform. If you would try to suppress your nature against your will, you will not be able to do that successfully because your nature will come out. That's all he's saying. Each one is bound according to the nature. Meaning what? You can maximum do what? Suppress the action. Can you suppress your thought?
If you are wicked in nature, you remain wicked, is that?
Wickedness is not your nature. Huh. Wickedness is different. Your nature is certain things. Like for example, okay, because you are asking this, let me give an example. There are hackers hacking websites. right?
Yes.
They have the nature of software, programming or whatever that is, through which they hack your website. So their nature is that software, programming and all that. But it is wrongly directed to hack others' website. But the same fellows, when they are employed for the government or the CBI, they help catching the hackers. Are you with me? So the nature is not hacking. Please understand. It's the wrong direction because of which they are hacking. But the same guys, when they are used, they become helpful for the society. So the nature is not wickedness. Wickedness is selfishness, which comes by tamas and rajas. That is different. When the nature is not directed towards the higher, they become wicked.
So all like anger, all those things are not, will not be a nature. That is a expression. Mm-hmm. Those are not nature. That's not a nature of a person. That is an expression.
We are in the context talking about your vasanas.
Mm-hmm.
Your vasana to be a kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, dhamana, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is inclined towards leadership, administration, etc., whom we call as kshatriya. Somebody is inclined towards service orientation, whom you call a shudra. Somebody who is inclined towards reading, studying, propitiating this knowledge, call us brahmana, etc. So this is the nature. Now if you use it for selfish purpose, it becomes wickedness. Use it for the welfare of the world, it becomes a good action. That's about it.
So
nature per se is not wicked.
So why was Krishna insisting that Arjuna should fight and grab the throne?
Not grab the throne.
Well, get onto the throne because
they had the throne which was taken away by dubious way.
Mm.
It belongs to you. And you be having that nature, coming to that position, doing the right thing for the world, has been taken away. So you rightly fight. Nothing wrong in that. It is not that you say, oh, somebody has taken my property, so I'll sit down. No. This is something that rightfully belongs to you, you fight for it. And, sorry, that's all he's saying. He's not saying grab.
He doesn't want to, but he can still do service to the people. He didn't have to be on the throne to do service.
He would be able to do service by being in that position.
That's the selfish way of looking at it.
No.
You're killing so many people, you're going to war, you're going to be finishing so many people to just sit on the throne and then be able to do service.
Don't change the data. You, the moment you come to the, let's say you are the king. When you are the king, you try to avert war. But when it is forced, you should be ready to fight in the bargain. If your side or their side, there is going to be people dying, that is part of life. You have no intention to destroy anyone. Neither did Krishna nor the Pandavas had any intention to destroy. They went through Samdhan Ved to try to avert war. It was because in spite of all their efforts, it failed because Duryodhana consistently said, nothing doing, we'll go for the war. And in the Pancha also I pointed out to you, the bugle
was...
That's
not nature here.
Therefore, the nature is Kshatriya, be a Kshatriya. The nature is agriculturist, be an agriculturist. The nature is painter, be a painter. And do that in alignment with the portal. That's what he's saying. He is not saying the nature is to kill people. No.
So if you are two real brothers, if you are two brothers, one is fight, one is a, let's say, a person who likes to be, he's also a Kshatriya, I'm also a Kshatriya. Right? So both our natures are to be a leader.
Both your natures are?
Born brothers, your natures don't have to be the same.
No, let's say she's giving a letter where both are same. Okay.
Let's say Duryodhana and Arjuna. Now here in this case, Arjuna is pushed into doing all that. But Duryodhana by nature is and he's whatever, he's taken over. So then if your real two brothers are like that, if you know, in real life today, I'm just putting this into this. So, does it mean that you finish your brother just to take the throne?
No,
take the,
not finish. They are free to live logically.
Whatever be it, let's say every way.
Yes, you have to. You have to. Now, okay, I'll give you 1 minute, Shweta.
That will become me.
Shweta, 1 minute. I'll give you the same thing in a different data.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
I understood what
you mean. So, which means that today's daughters don't get any property rights. Okay? So, should all the girls go fighting that no, you have to give, finishes everyone's businesses? Mm-hmm. I'm not a business family, but this is what I hear and matter.
Let's go step by step.
No, this is all part of...
I am answering your question.
So let's say a brother and sister. I gave a wrong example, two brothers. Mm-hmm. A brother and a sister. A sister has now 50% right.
But now
means what? That's our human rule. Mm-hmm. Let's talk of nature. I'm also a kshatriya like my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I also want that. So I should fight with my brother and finish the business.
People are doing it.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. Is it fair?
Why not?
To fight and finish everything.
Brothers are finishing each other, the wife and the sister. Anyway, let Guruji talk.
No, listen, first of all that he is trying to say here is, now, in the system, there is police, there is lawyer, there is justice system. This belongs to you, that belongs to somebody else. And X has taken yours, what belongs to you, unrighteously from you. It belongs to you. So you appeal to him. It belongs to me, I've taken it unrighteously, give it back to me. He says no. Then what do? You ask for the system through the police and the law, get it back. That's it. Very simple.
So Arjun did what? That.
He did that. They appealed to him. They did everything. He was not listening.
Correct.
So the only thing he said, if you want, you have to wage war against me and get it. If I die, you get it. If you die, I'll get it. So they said, okay. So that's it. Simple. Similar. Now 1 minute. Now come to brother-sister thing. Whatever is the law of the land, right? Whatever is the law of the land, if that belongs to you, you get it. With same being with the system, not going against the system. In this context, maybe that day even...
System is created by humans. We are now talking of the nature of a person.
Exactly, that's
so what... Because I am not kshatriya, forget the law then, no?
Yes. No, what do you mean by law? If you are a kshatriya, doesn't mean you go and fight with everybody. That's not what Krishna is saying.
No. For what is yours. Yours is again selfish then, no?
Not selfish.
No, why is it selfish?
Not selfish.
It's not selfish. It's yours, you fight for your rights. Tomorrow a thief comes to your house and steals away everything of yours. No?
What is it?
No. My sister stole my property. I have to fight for it. My property, she sold without me knowing about it. I had to fight for it. I was such an idiot. I felt myself that I am such an idiot. She can sell my property and I'll sit here. I felt like am I such a stupid idiot? My reaction wasn't that she stole my property. My reaction was, am I such a stupid idiot that somebody can sell my property and me do nothing about it? I mean, my husband go stand in the middle of the afternoon at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on the 20th of June, which is the hottest, and get my demarcation and get my property back. It's my property.
You have to fight for yourself.
You have to fight for yourself.
Weakness is not...
Otherwise, it's my weakness that somebody can tread over me. It happened, it actually happened to me.
So anyway, so the point... The point here is very simple. Your nature, if you talk about, let us assume that lady's nature is also kshatriya. And the man's nature is also kshatriya. And as per your dharma, whatever is yours, and if it is taken away by somebody else, of course you fight for it. It's not only in this context. As a kshatriya, you also have a duty towards the society to use your kshatriya nature for the welfare of the total. That's it, simple. Therefore, nothing wrong. It's not that you are not selfish when you fight for what belongs to you. You are selfish when you take away what belongs to somebody else, or you want to keep only to yourself. You always see from your point of view, don't see from the total point of view. No. From the total, this, let's say the king, the law says, this is the property which needs to be split 50-50. As per the law. But the situation may be something else. So you say, that, okay, as per that, I am ready, I am in a certain better position today, so I am saying, okay, I will take 25, you take 25. That is separate. But if that is decided, then you take 25, give him 75. You have nothing wrong in that. Why are you saying it is selfish? It is not selfish.
If you have reached a certain level where all these things don't matter, then also you go fighting like Vivekananda. You also would have gone fighting like this.
See, that's what I'm trying to say. If you reach the level of sannyasi, your nature is now different. A sannyasi is not somebody who comes into war. A kshatriya is one who comes into war, he doesn't leave the war when it is inconvenient to him. Please understand, if you become sannyasi, it's different. If, supposing, in the defense, let me answer, please listen to me. If in the defense I am a doctor, I am not the one who goes to the war front and fights, but I take care of the people who are wounded in the war front. That's my duty. Okay? Now, I don't say, oh, listen, this is too difficult for me to go to the war front and take care of the soldiers who are wounded and leave. No, this is my duty, this is my nature. So I live up to it in the context. Now, supposing I'm retired and I've taken up sannyas. Now, that's not my duty to go and do it. So you are comparing two different things.
No, not sannyas.
You gave the example of Swami Vivekananda. I am explaining to you, Swami Vivekananda is a sannyasi. Lord Buddha, who was a born kshatriya, had given up his kshatriya nature and became a Buddha. Once he became a Buddha, he did not go back to fight. He doesn't have to go back to fight. No. But you cannot be a kshatriya and suit your convenience and say, when it is convenient to me, I will fight. When it is not convenient, I will not fight. No. If you say, I am a kshatriya, whether or not it is convenient to you, if the war is waged by the country, you be there and fight. That's it. Not looking at from your personal convenience. No. That's all I am saying.
If she hadn't fought, would she have been a weak soul?
Yes, I mean, if I hadn't given it up and I just didn't fight because I would look like a bad person, I was a weak soul.
Because see, in that way, if it didn't
matter to me,
finish my question.
No, if
it didn't matter to me, would I still be called weak?
No.
So if it didn't matter to you, then why should it matter to you whether you're called weak or not?
If someone's taking something, it's different. And if you are giving
nature, if you don't mind that somebody steals something from you,
you have forgiven
that person, you're not weak. You're very strong. I wasn't so strong. If I didn't fight, I would still then mentally forgive her that you've stolen my property and you're almost happy to have it. Either you're very happy to give it to her, you've stolen, you've cheated me, fine. I am very brilliant. I have reached beyond that level. It doesn't matter to me. You're very strong. Forget what the world thinks about you. You
so
are very strong.
What nature would that be? What all she said?
Okay, now, see, when you say it doesn't matter, the question is not whether it matters to you or not, whether you have risen above it or not, mentally. Please understand.
That's what I mean.
Number one. Number two, say for example, you are above the attachment to the property and everything. You are running an ashram. Right? Mentally you are above the attachment to the property of the ashram. But let's say the ashram property has been compromised by somebody illegally. Not legally, illegally. Right? Now, you fight for it doesn't mean you are attached to the property. This is something that legally belongs to us and we are legally trying to get it back. That's it. That doesn't mean that I am attached. That doesn't mean that I am selfish. Please understand. Just because now don't interfere. Now you ask me something, I'm answering. Now you listen to me fully. So I am saying mentally I am above all this. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not attached to my property. But legally I'm fighting to get it back to do the affairs of my life. I am not attached. I don't have to prove anybody that I'm attached or not. This doesn't mean I am selfish, number one. Number two, when I am physically not fighting but mentally disturbed by it, right? Somebody has taken my property. This is an example. And physically I don't want to fight them because inconvenient or whatever may be the reason. But mentally, I'm terribly disturbed. So what Sri Krishna is saying is, instead of that, you deal with those difficulties, inconvenience, go fight for your property. You're not saying go take somebody else's property. Instead of sitting on and mentally be disturbed, you rather go do what is necessary thing within the rule, get it back. Simple. Then tomorrow if you say, listen, I want to do charity or whatever I want to do, you do whatever you want to do to anybody, it could be the same person. That's a different thing. So don't say, it doesn't matter, therefore I should not fight. No, it really doesn't matter. But yes, I will still fight. That possibility is definitely there. Why not? Just because I'm a sannyasi and I started an ashram, so everybody takes it and leave it. No. Within the system, it's wrong that I'm getting it back. That is not selfish at all.
No, so if you lose in court by all the legal means, you should go fight. And then you go in jail. In this case, yeah. Krishna did
no,
but now...
No. Word fight means what? Word fight means what? Word fight means whatever is the legal recourse.
So
if it is physically waging war, do that as a, between countries. If we are talking about a property dispute where you settle it in the court, you go to the court. You don't go and kill them and take it. Nobody is saying that.
So if you lose it, you give it up. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
What? Then you don't go physical fighting.
Obviously.
So,
what did Krishna say? You know, that's why I'm saying, see, listen. Now, I don't think so anybody is reading, daily studying. Now, if you are not going to daily study, these kind of issues will keep on propping up. In the second chapter, Sri Krishna already said, Hatova prapsyasi swargam. Jitvava bhokshase mahim. If you win, you get the name, fame, property, everything. If you lose, you will go to heaven. Heaven meaning you would have done what you should have done. Therefore, you will have no regrets, remorse, you will be happy. If you lose, you will be happy because you did what you had to do. If you won, you get the property. But don't do it with an attachment to get it. Sorry. You can lose the battle, you can win the battle. It so happens, the story says that they won it and they got it. Supposing they lost it also, it's fine. So the fight is not to get back the property. The fight is to establish righteousness. That's why I said that particular class, probably you were not there. I was going to say that, but all of you interfered. That particular class, Mataji was asking this question, in some context we were discussing, about that Hyderabad case, where that girl was molested by those guys and then they were arrested, apparently the same four fellows, we don't know. They were arrested and they were produced in the court, a magistrate or whatever, and then they were, what do you call that?
Encountered.
So the police did the encounter on them, because the police theory is they try to escape and they try to attack them, therefore they have no other recourse but to kill them. In that context, what did we say? We discussed and said that, listen, all this, maybe what police is saying is correct, maybe what police is saying is not correct, but there is a judicial system which firstly has to establish whether these four accused were the real four ones, or one or two different, one or two same, or all four different, all four same, we don't know. We don't know. Then why you have a judicial system? Why you have a judicial system if police themselves can, you know, finish off the cases? No. There is a duty the police have to do. There is a duty judicial system has to do. And in the Indian system, you have lower courts, high court, and then Supreme Court. And once it has happened in the Supreme Court, I think there is something called review, and if the review is not accepted, or again the court says, that's it, final, period. Everybody has to accept that. Right? So, therefore, that day we said, if they have to necessarily be reviewed, the whole thing, whether what they are saying is correct, police, supposing what police is saying is correct, that they try to attack, then they have no option but to encounter them, then that's correct. What they did. But if that is not correct, so you can't say, oh, okay, they were finished, that's it. No, that's wrong. So you have to go by the system. By the system, you fight it and get it. So when you do that, many times in the court, what happens is, especially in Indian thing, they keep on saying, right, one innocent fellow should not be punished. Right? Even if the culprits are, because they are not having enough proof, they are set free. But one innocent fellow should not be punished. So there may be situations where the culprits may be getting scot-free. Are you with me? But that doesn't mean, or maybe the culprit is convicted. Both are possible. But as a citizen, as a lawyer, as a police, whatever it may be in the citizen in the context, you do what has to be done. With no distinct that I must somehow win or lose. No. Obviously when the lawyer is presenting the case, he is presenting the case to prove his side of the truth and win the case for his client. But it's possible that he may lose it. That's all you are saying. That's all Krishna is also saying. He's very clearly said in the second chapter itself.
So
you don't attach yourself to the results. Just do it because that's what is to be done. So somebody has taken what is legally within the frame of system yours wrongfully. Fight it and get it done. Yes. But you may lose it. If you lose it, fine. But that's not done with this thing. And secondly, detachment or renunciation should not be misunderstood as what is the right word? Not fighting for what belongs to you.
Meaning as a weak person.
Yes.
It should not be taken as a weakness.
Exactly. Renunciation is not giving up of the property mentally, rising above it mentally. Not giving up it mentally. Not giving up physically, rising above it
mentally.
That is what renunciation is. Or renunciation, oh, you say you are a renounced person, then why are you fighting it in the court? Renouncing doesn't mean physical. Renouncing can also be done physically. But the crux there is to prove that it's renunciation or not, is not physical renunciation, it is mental renunciation. Yes, now you have to clarify.
So where does Maryada Purush Ram and Sita and that whole episode of Ram being tough on Sita ji fit in here? What is Ram's nature in this?
See,
because he completely didn't believe Sita ji, or maybe he believed her but he had to pretend not to because he had to listen to the, that's what I understood of the Dobi and whatever I said.
So when you say
and then she went, the dharti opened and she went in, so she got moksha because she was a superwoman.
Okay.
So
we have discussed this before and remember very well. So
probably I wasn't there.
You, with you asked this question and I discussed this with you. Not with somebody else, with you. You asked the same Maryada Purusha Ram's question. I answered the same question. I will give you the same answer.
So
my answer is not going to be different.
No, but the nature
of
the
Pajama,
I can't remember.
Anyway,
sorry.
Ram did whatever he did as a Raja Rama, not as a Sita Rama. Ram was also Sita Rama. Ram was also Raja Rama. As a Raja, the Dharma of the land of that day.
That time.
Of that day. Now, for example, there are laws in India which the judges deliver judgment based on the law of the land of that day. I don't remember exactly when, till certain months or years ago, I think the article is 377, right? That homosexuality law. I don't know. Correct. He's saying 377. I'm not sure. I think it's 377. Till few months or years ago, the law of the land said it is criminal. Right? Few months or years ago, they removed it. They said it's not criminal anymore. So now the judge, the same judge maybe, few years ago would have delivered, it's criminal, based on the law. Right? Now the judge will say, it's not criminal, because the law is so. Right? And the law will be evolving as the mindset of the people evolves. The judge's job is to deliver according to the law and maybe the other facts or whatever it is. Similarly, as Raja Rama, it's got nothing to do with personally whether he thought this, that, you know. He did it as a Raja Rama.
So was it not?
As a Sita Rama, later on after having told Lakshmana to punish her, and when Lakshmana returns, as per Ramayana, he was, they show in the story that he was in, he was sad, Rama was sad. Looking at it, Lakshmana asks, what is this big thing? You were the one who banished her, for which the poet very nicely says in Tamil Ramayana, Ramane, sorry, Sidaye Kartika Anupiyadu Raja Raman, Ippodhu Arukundi Irupadu Sita Raman, which means, as a husband of Sita, I know very well, I have no problem. Right? I have no doubt, nothing of that sort. But the fact that I am playing the role of a king, as per the perception of the thing, like even today in modern context also, when somebody is accused of a certain corruption, and the perception is that he or she is corrupt, the Prime Minister and other people may be convinced that he or she is not correct. But the perception is such, right? And the matter has gone to court and this and that, the thing is going on. So what does the Prime Minister or anybody do? They tell, for that period, you step aside, resign as a minister, and when in the court you are proven innocent, acquitted, maybe he is given the ministry again, whatever it is. But temporarily he is being asked to resign. When the Prime Minister asks the minister to resign, put the papers in, doesn't mean the Prime Minister is convinced that he is guilty.
Yeah, but this is your own bias. You could have resigned with her. No, you could have given the nothing to Lakshmana. If you were such a great, nice...
Okay, he is not great.
That's what I said.
His true nature is, he being a Kshatriya, he did what the king has to do. Right, that's all he did. You can say you should have also resigned. That's your personal thing. So that's all I'm trying to say. Yeah, that's why I said, whenever we discuss these things, in your case, luckily, you yourself, when you framed the question, if I heard you correctly, you said, this is what my understanding is. I have not read it fully. You don't probably even use those words, but I got the sense of
it. Yes, that's what that is.
Exactly. But many people, the truth here is, maybe there are few people who have read well and come and question. Many have not read it. Hearsay, etc., etc. So very clearly in Kamba Ramayana he beautifully says, Sita, the one who banished Sita was the King Rama, Raja Rama, not Sita Rama, period. And when any difficulty comes, so okay, I will also resign. No, let me be objective and deliver. If it happens to be my personal thing, so that is why he was called as Maryada Purusha Rama, where he was able to deliver justice even when it is to his own family.
No, but how is it justice?
Justice is just as per the perception of the day. That doesn't mean he is saying Sita is guilty. Please understand this. He didn't say Sita is guilty. Sita is not guilty. He didn't say Sita is guilty.
What is fact is a fact, what is truth?
He didn't say Sita is guilty. Now go and listen to what's his name? I'm forgetting his name. Because I remember in the internet this question is asked to many people, especially to Sadhguru and to what is his name? The one who wrote that Jaya
Rao.
Jaya Rao. Devdutt Patnaik. Devdutt Patnaik. So now, very interesting, in the internet, the same question was asked to Devdutt Patnaik. It was not in the internet, it was asked in some conclave, and it is there in the internet. Here is a very interesting answer, listen to that. So, end of the day, what all those who read the scriptures and talk about Rama as Maryada Purusha is the one who delivered justice in the context as it should be delivered, keeping aside his personal interest. That is precisely why he was called as Maryada Purusha. So, now, somebody can ask, was there a person called Ram?
No, but...
Was there another person called Ram or not? That ideology was called as Ram. That ideology of looking at it from the Dharma and adhering to Dharma and doing it. If I am a son, as a son, if you paint a picture, Rama's picture, very interesting. If you read the story of Rama, Rama as a son, perfect son. You read the story of Rama as a brother, perfect brother. If you read the story of Rama as a friend, perfect friend. If you read the story of Rama as a husband, perfect husband.
If he is perfect.
Perfect king. Perfect in everything. Now, supposing you paint a picture of a person who's perfect nose, perfect eyes, perfect this, perfect that, the whole picture, when you look at it, may not be looking so perfect. But when you look at specific parts, may be perfect. The same way in Ramayana, each aspect, whatever he did in the context he did, if he was a son, what he should have done. If he was a student, Shishya, what Shishya should do. As the role demand him to do, he did. That is why he is called as Maryada Purusha. He did not say, no, this, that, no. Don't preempt all that.
No, but Maryada Purusha.
Purusha.
I mean, the man is supposed to look after his wife.
Isn't that
his duty?
He did that.
How did he do it? By banishing her?
He did that. He is a man who did not marry somebody else and his wife was taken away by somebody else. He went, fought and got her back. He did his duty.
Yeah, but
he went and did. I'm telling you, he did his duty. You are asking a question. First, I'm giving you the reverse of it. Your question, what was your question?
Yeah, that he was to protect his wife.
He did that?
Yeah.
He went and fought and whatever he had to do, whatever difficulties he had to go through, he did that. So, when you ask this question, there is an assumption, he didn't do his duty. No.
And
therefore, I'm giving. I'm not saying it's a big deal. I'm saying, therefore, I'm telling you, he did that. He went to the extent of doing it at any cost. Right? So he is a person who did what he has to do. He is not a person who relinquished his responsibilities. Never. Never ever. But when he is the king, when I have accepted, I deliver that. And Sita always had a certain mind of her own. She took her own decision. When Rama, this is what Devdutt Patnaik very beautifully presents. Sita was not asked by Lord Ram to accompany him to the forest. Because Jasharatha said, you go. You have to be banished. Because that's the order by Dasharatha. So Rama was going to go alone.
Yeah.
Lakshmana said, I'll come. Sita said, I'll come. Rama said, no, don't come. You will have to go through all the rigor unnecessarily. You be in the palace. But she said, no, nothing doing, I'm coming. So he let her function according to her will. Though he gave his opinion. Then she came, and when she was taken away, he got her back. Every time she acted according to her.
She was doing her duty as a wife.
Nobody is saying it's wrong.
No, she was doing her duty.
I'm not saying
it's wrong. So it's a mind of her own.
Yes, she
following the duty.
Are Baba, where did I say she's not following her duty? Why are you taking one step forward? I am saying she decided her course. Similarly, she decided her course and went inside the earth. It was not Ram who sent her into the earth, or she did not go into the earth because she felt Ram did wrong to her. No. She did because she thought that's the right thing for her to do. She did that. Ram did not tell her, you go. It is as simple as Prime Minister asking the minister to resign. So on that day, whatever he has to be done as a king, he did that. He did not say you are guilty, you have to go through, you have to die.
So
he did not say any of that. She decided.
If you're comparing Prime Minister to Ram and Sita, then the judges recuse themselves when it's their personal matter. No judge will listen to his matter when it's his wife or his brother, or even if he has a share in a company.
That is the order of the day.
Correct.
That's all. For not only for judges.
So I don't think we can compare Prime Minister to Ram Sita at all.
Don't compare. I'm giving you my answer. It's for you to decide to accept or not to accept. Think about it, whatever you want to do. You ask me something, I'm answering. So the not only to judges, even the doctors, for example.
Yeah, they know.
Legally, I think they are not allowed to do operation on their spouse or kitankin.
On their family.
On the family, because of the perception maybe that they are expected not to be that objective.
They cannot.
That's what I told you. The law of that day, whatever that is, he did that. Don't try to compare that with today. If the judge gave a judgment 5 years ago, criminalizing the act of homosexuality of a person when it came to the court, you can't say that judge is wrong. On that day, that was the law, he did that. If today the law is saying this, the same judge will probably, acquit him. Maybe. Or he should, rather, he will do that.
I have a question.
So, yeah.
No, so when you are saying that he was perfect, a perfect son, perfect love, everything, but in this case, he's not a perfect husband. He's put the duty of him himself as a perfect king as a higher good.
Listen. Whenever you play different roles,
then you value the role which is.
Devo, in family business, you and your son are in the same family business, let's say, and you happen to be the chairman. Your son is the director, right? As a director, he can present his case, whatever, maybe something else. But as a chairman, you have to do what is the right thing for the
company.
That doesn't mean, as a father, he is not having any affection to his son obligation to his son. That is separate. As an obligation to the son, to think that he has to give his X amount of property to his son. He did that maybe. He did whatever. Just because he overruled his son's thought process as a chairman doesn't mean he went against it.
Okay.
So as a father, he could have been absolutely good father.
No, so supposing in today's context, today you have a company where you have the father and the son, as you say, chairman and
director.
If the son is not competent enough, if the father throws him out of the company, because today it is for the company which is right. Supposing the son is completely competent, but the other shareholders feel that no, we want to vote him out. So then, as a father, I mean not as a father, as the head of the company, as the chairman, he might need to, because as a majority the shareholders will say vote him out. But so he is performing the higher post.
So it's simple, Shweta. There's nothing much to complicate here. See, in UN, I think United States of America and all this, China and all, they have veto power.
Huh?
veto power.
Veto power.
Right.
Uh-huh.
The majority may say something, but they can use the veto power and overrule it.
Hmm.
If my understanding is correct.
Hmm.
So supposing as a chairman he has a veto power and he genuinely feels or not feels, genuinely knows that it is wrong. The son is absolutely capable and he is not wrong to continue as a director. And he uses the veto power in the interest of the company, not because he happens to be son.
Yeah.
Objectively, he uses the veto power and does, that's the correct thing. But if he doesn't have veto power,
in most
he has to go by the majority. He goes by the majority. That's it, simple. Where is the confusion? So the question here is, am I being objective or not? If I am being objective, I see it in the interest of the total, and in the interest of the total, he needs to be removed. In the interest of the total, he needs to be retained. I do that. That's it. And when I take such a decision, I should be ready for the criticism of such decision also. As a judge, I keep my conscience clear and give a judgment. Right. Tomorrow, if the data has changed, I may give a different judgment based on the new data. That's a different thing. But as of today, my conscience is very clear. I view the case so objectively and I give, for example, let's say there is some caste dispute and the judge happens to be of the same caste. Right? Now, if the judge gives judgment against his caste, they say, oh, what a great judge he was, even though he was belonging to the same caste, he said against it. But if he saw that the justice was with this particular caste group, which happened to be his caste, and he therefore gave it in their favor, he may be criticized that he was being favorable to his community. Fine. You, when you come to such position, you should be ready to be criticized. You should be ready, and your decisions may be criticized. But you make sure that you deliver your judgment as objective as possible. You be answerable to your conscience. That's it. So where is the confusion? In the question of chairman, son and all that, if the majority says so and the law is majority, that's it. You have no choice. And tomorrow, being in the system, you can work because this son is good for the company, let's say. Tomorrow you can work within the system, trying to convince them it's in the interest of the company, it's better that we get them back. Work and get it back. Or you may fail, fine. See, it is not necessary that you will always win. But it is necessary that you always be doing the right thing. This morning somebody sent in WhatsApp, you know. The life's goal is not to get rich. The life's goal is to live rich. Similarly, the goal is not to get the thing in your favor or not in your favor, but doing what is the right thing. You may win, you may lose. That's it. If in the interest of the team, you decided as a captain that XYZ should be made to sit out as a substitute, another XY should play. Right? You are absolutely no interest personally. And it could turn in your favor that the guy came in and played well and the team won, whatever. Then they say, oh, excellent and all that. Or supposing he came at that particular match, he flopped. You may be criticized, but as a leader, you should be clear, I am taking this decision objectively. So, as per the story, what the people who have written the story are calling Lord Ram as Maryada Purusha is, he delivered his judgments always objective. Never with personal at all. Never. Always. And he had no anger or retaliation attitude or anything towards anyone who did wrong to him. As per Kamba Ramayana, even to Ravana, even he first fights with him, who has done so much injustice to him, and he fights with him, after beating him, making him lose all his weapons, he tells him, Indrupoi Naleva, means you go back, and come tomorrow. Come tomorrow means if you will come back, not realizing your mistake, tomorrow I am not going to give you another chance. But if you don't come back, I'm ready to, forgive you. So these are the qualities because of which the objectivity, forgiveness, whatever qualities we studied in the Gita, all those qualities because of which he is called as Maryada Purusha. Or those qualities are ideologically presented as a person who is called Ram. That's it. Whether such a person lived, not getting into all that. So that's all it is. So that is precisely why he is called as Maryada Purusha. Why he is called as Maryada Purusha is he never did anything with his personal image. He always was, in the modern context we want to say, team player. That's all. These two words. No problem.
No, that I agree he was a team player and he's not doing it for any personal gain. Why would he want to abolish or anything? But at the same time, I can't understand because he was a king. So today it is, if somebody is saying something wrong, anybody can say anything. So then just to prove them right, that he doesn't have
not, to... That is what I told you in between, you were not listening. Mm-hmm. It's not one fellow saying, it's presented in the story, all of you who heard, whatever story you heard, it's presented as if one fellow said, no. Mm-hmm. General perception.
But then he's a king, he can correct something which is wrong.
Which is what is the system. Before he did, supposing... Before the system is trying to correct and get the minister back, and the minister says, I am retiring from politics itself, and goes, what can the prime minister do? The prime minister has a system by which he has to play. So the system by which he is playing to see, as per the system, he will prove that fellow has not done anything wrong and get him back. But in the meantime, the fellow decided that I am retiring from politics as well. I am doing medication. He can do nothing about it.
I remember the story, right? She came into the darbar. She was declared innocent.
She came into the darbar when the dhobi had the accusation and she did that Agni Pariksha.
After she was called back.
So what's your question?
She was not banished
proving that she is guilty. No, never. This is a wrong story. Rama never said that. I didn't say that. That's it. Simple. Okay. See, the question raised was, there is the general, the question, the general perception was, the general perception was that the king and all play by a different rule. Ordinary people have a different set of rules. You understand? That was a general perception. So Rama, as a Raja Rama, he showed to the country, no, the rule is same for each and every one, whether it is belonging to the royal family or not. So if the rule is resigned, get in, he did that. That's it, simple. So the whole thing was the perception. When we said perception was not a perception, there are big people, rich people, law doesn't work there, law only works here. That he wanted to show, no. It's the same for anybody and everyone. Even if it means taking such a decision, going to be my personal loss as a king, I should be able to do it, he did that. That's it. That is precisely why he is called as Maryada Purusha. So like I said, I have given my views. It's up to you to think about it, accept or reject. It's up to you. You're entirely free. But before you do anything, please get back and read the story.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Kaya Navacha Manasendriya Eva Buddhya Atmanava
प्रकृतेस्वभावात् करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणाय समर्पयामि।